besties. Welcome back to HR After Dark. We're spilling all of the corporate and legal tea with a side of freaking glam today. Guys, it's juicy. It's extra pulp juicy. We're talking chaos at the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. Who's freaking in charge? And the federal layoff storm that's got thousands of employees refreshing their emails in full panic mode. Grab your oat milk latte, snuggle up in your coziest blanket or snuggie. Let's freaking get into it. So the DOGE debacle, who's running the show? Listen, babes, could you imagine showing up for work and you have no freaking clue who your boss is? Because that's literally the situation at DOGE right now, which, by the way, that's Bitcoin. Like, what are we doing here? Trump has been telling everyone that Elon Musk is in charge of DOGE, right? Going as far as saying, I've put Musk in charge of this cute sleigh. Except, whoops, that's freaking not what the White House is saying. So we're scrambling to correct that statement, saying Musk is actually a senior advisor, not the official administrator. And the drama just keeps getting messier from there. Because a government lawyer was asked point blank in court, who runs DOGE? And they couldn't give a clear answer. I'm sorry, what? Even DOGE employees are confused. And while we love a little workplace mystery, it's affecting the functioning of a federal department. Could we be so fucking for real right now? Not a good time. Let's talk receipts. So if officials are found out to have knowingly misled the public or Congress about Musk's role, we could be looking at perjury. Perjury, and that's a big deal. Legally speaking, under U.S. law, lying under oath is a crime, but there's always a loophole. You know, there's always a loophole. So if your statement is technically true, but misleading, it's not perjury. It's like legal gymnastics. However, knowingly providing false information to the government, that's illegal. Okay. That is illegal under the U.S. Constitution. So if Congress starts asking really specific questions and the answers aren't adding up, we might start seeing subpoenas fly. Musk, meanwhile, is probably somewhere posting memes and dodging drama per usual. I mean, his stocks are tanking, not by that much, but, you know, still tanking. So I do want to get into their communication error that's happening with them right now and kind of expand on the importance of workplace communication, number one, but like how this all got started, just so you guys can understand. So Caroline Leavitt got in front of reporters on Tuesday, February 25th, and she couldn't answer who the DOGE administrator was. Her response was only to say that there are career officials and there are political appointees who are helping run DOGE on a day-to-day basis. She did go on to say, we've been incredibly transparent about how DOGE is working. I'm happy to follow up and provide you the name of the individual, but I'm not revealing it from this podium. And it's like, okay, girl, like, what are we hiding? You know, that was like automatic red flag number one. Because what are you hiding? Why aren't you revealing it from the podium? And so that's kind of a smart answer, but it still leaves confusion, right? So since Judge Colleen Coller Cotelli, asked who the specific person is and attorneys couldn't answer the question, you know, kind of started bringing up, okay, well, who is the person, right? If your attorneys are saying, not really sure, and you're saying that, you know, you have it, but you're not going to relay that information, girl, we're looking suspicious. Come on. So then she gets up on Wednesday, 2/26, Caroline gets in front of reporters to say Amy Gleason has been the administrator for quite some time, several weeks, maybe a month. I'm not quite sure, quote unquote. When asked why did multiple DOGE staffers just find out about her yesterday, Caroline responds, well, you'd have to ask them. They're clearly unaware. And when asked, did you announce her position to the rest of the DOGE staff? Caroline backpedals and is all quick to think on her feet and say, oh, well, you know, we told you who she was. Got real defensive with it. So let me tell you how I know that staff had just found out, and not from a news article, but like when you have a new hire, okay, typically what happens during a new hire onboarding for a high level employee, okay, we're not talking like somebody who's working the production line, okay, we're talking a high level employee. There's an email that gets sent out announcing who's joining the staff. The person typically responds to that email and gives a brief of themselves. And if they don't respond to that email, they're meeting, okay, they're meeting with the people. They're talking to them. They're getting to know them on a one-on-one level. If it's a smaller scale organization, that's kind of what they're going to do. Otherwise, they're going to be announced at some formal monthly staff meeting. So people are going to know who this person is. And I'm sorry, when we have a new company like Doge, which they're not new, we'll get into that. But when we have a company like Doge, and we have an executive order that says, you know, this is what's going to happen within 30 days time. It needs to happen in 30 days time, first of all. Second of all, you need to have that chain of command, okay? There's clearly not the chain of command there. There was nobody in charge except for Mr. Elon himself. And he wasn't allowed to be in charge. So, of course, we had to name a scapegoat. And I'm sorry, but Amy, you were it. Congrats on your promotion, though. U.S. Doge Service was formerly known as USDS, or United States Digital Service. Trump renamed it in his executive order upon his first day in office, okay, and then created the temporary organization, U.S. Doge Service Temporary Organization, or Doge as we know it. So you've got the USDS, which was renamed to U.S. Doge, okay, same, they're the same. And then there's a subsection of the temporary organization, and that is the one that everybody keeps referring to when they say Doge, all right? Now, that temporary organization was scheduled, or is scheduled, to end on July 4th, 2026. It's not a federal executive department because that would require an act of Congress. USDS was under the Freedom of Information Act, which allowed public oversight. US Doge Temporary and the renamed USDS has since moved under the executive office of the president and therefore under purview of the Presidential Records Act. So now it's exempt from document disclosure and public oversight, which is probably why we see Caroline saying, you know, we're being real transparent with you. They can only lay out so much information to the public. There's not a lot of transparency going on here. And quite frankly, for good reason, because there's not a lot of communication happening between them. So Trump is touting Elon Musk is in charge. You know, he signed the executive order. He first stated Musk would oversee the department as an advisory role in August of 2024 at a campaign rally, to which Musk then goes on his Twitter, or X, and posts a photo next to his Bitcoin, the Dogecoin that Musk promotes, posts a photo of himself next to it, and he states, "I formally accept," or whatever he writes on there, okay? Then, in Trump's executive order, he states there are 4 Doge members to be assigned or hired from each department and an administrator to be hired within 30 days of signing the order. All right. Musk was the largest donor in the 2024 U.S. election, spending over $290 million in support of Trump and others, primarily in the 5 final weeks of the campaign. So it's no wonder that he got a seat at the table, okay? But he's not a government official. He's not an elected official. He's not in charge in any way. So he only has so much oversight. So the White House denies that Musk is in charge and says that he's merely overseeing, but it didn't elaborate on who's in charge. February 4th, 2025, $6.75 million had been apportioned to Doge from the Information Technology Oversight and Reform account. That is the same account which funded the previous USDS, or US Digital Service. So no changes there. Everything seems okay, but you know, they're getting some funds, right? February 12th, this amount increased to $14.4 million. And on February 20th, it increased for a third time to $40 million. So were funding this little department that, quite frankly, doesn't know what they're even doing. They have no direction. They have no clear communication. There are kids, the Doge kids, that are running them. What's going on here? So how did the communication breakdown occur? Trump wanted to appoint Elon. Elon can't serve. That's what I've just said. He can't serve. He's not a government employee. He was given special government employee status, and that's only good for 130 days. But now, if you remember, this temporary service is supposed to go on for 2 years, or at least a full year, until February 4th of 26. Doge was technically reporting to the White House Chief of Staff, Susie Wiles. Trump said on February 19th, he put Musk in charge. February 25th, Caroline comes out and says Musk is overseeing. And then on February 25th, the White House names Amy Gleason, who was a previous senior advisor. So Elon touts that names can't all be revealed for legally protected reasons. Some Reddit users began doxing those who work for the department because, you know, I'm not for doxing. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that that's a good thing by any means. But we the people should know. We should know who's working for this department, who is finding waste, fraud, and abuse, right? Why are you accessing my social security number as a 19-year-old? I want to know who you are. And I should know who you are, all right? The official leadership structure has not been reported. But we do know that there are teams embedded within all federal agencies consisting of one team lead, one engineer, one HR specialist, and one attorney. All four employees from each department report to the USDS admin. So on February 25th, 21 employees of the 65 original USDS team quit, citing, "We will not use our skills as technologists to comprise core government systems and jeopardize American sensitive data or dismantle critical public services." What was going on within this department that these employees are quitting, that 21 employees are quitting? We have no idea who the administrator is. And there's a back and forth between Trump and his own administration. You know, it sounds like Caroline was tasked with controlling or mitigating too much pressure from the press, and she's breaking down. She's breaking down from it, unfortunately. And his State of the Union address, we just heard that Elon Musk is in charge. 2 days after his State of the Union address, we have Trump now saying, oh no, department heads are in charge of their departments. Musk can just say, hey, these people should be fired, right? But he can't be the one to fire them. Never came out to say if he's the one firing them, just that the department head should be. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of backpedaling going on within the administration. There's a lot of miscommunication within the administration, and it is just not looking good. It doesn't look good from my viewpoint as an HR person, right? I want my team to effectively communicate, because that's when we start playing the game of telephone. That's when we're like, who's on first? What's on second? It's looking very much like the US doesn't have their shit in order right now. Moving on to the federal layoff frenzy, who's getting the boot? So, right, we just said we're kicking out a bunch of people. Actual workplace horror story is happening across federal agencies. Trump and company are slashing jobs left and right, with over 80,000 positions on the chopping block at the Department of Veteran Affairs alone. And if you thought the IRS was safe, no. Half of its 90,000 employees might also be getting the dreaded "we regret to inform you" email. Now, why is this a big deal? Mass layoffs aren't just poof, you're gone, right? The federal government is supposed to follow strict reduction in force procedures, taking into account tenure, veterans' preference, and performance ratings. But surprise, the Office of Personnel Management is speed running the process, and it's like a game of Mario Kart. Now, on top of that, the WARN Act exists for a reason. The Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act requires 60 days notice for mass layoffs in big organizations. So, aka, don't ghost your employees. We've already talked about ghosting. But, plot twist, the WARN Act doesn't always apply to federal workers, which means some employees are getting pink slips with no warning whatsoever. And to follow that up, we actually just had a federal judge, U.S. District Court Judge Beryl Howell, ordered today, March 6th, for Gwen Wilcox to be reinstated to her position as a member of the National Labor Relations Board, ruling that Wilcox was unlawfully terminated by President Donald Trump. Howell's ruling comes one day after a public hearing in which attorneys argued the constitutionality of a 90-year-old Supreme Court precedent that reaffirmed Congress's power to create independent boards and commissions and denied the president the ability to remove members of those agencies at will. In the lawsuit, Wilcox said the lawsuit was the test case the president likely wanted after his unprecedented firing of congressionally approved members of independent agencies to challenge the 1935 ruling in Humphrey's Executor v. United States. In the ruling, Howell wrote, "The framers made clear that no one in our system of government was meant to be king, the president included, and not just in name only." Slight lighting malfunction. Moving along, legal challenges are always rolling in. The Merit Systems Protection Board is stepping in and has already forced the Department of Agriculture to reinstate 5,600 employees because, well, turns out you can't just fire people overnight. As we know, in this judge's ruling, Wilcox was just fired overnight for no reason other than the fact that the president was trying to do a power grab. He thought that he could use some form of constitutional power. He had an aspiration that was just flat wrong. The president doesn't have the authority to terminate members of the NLRB at will, and his attempt to fire the plaintiff from her position is a blatant violation of the law. Moreover, unions and advocacy groups are filing lawsuits left and right, arguing that these layoffs violate due process and federal employment laws. Some agencies, CDC, are literally having to call employees back in because their filings were handled so poorly. I mean, imagine getting fired and then getting like a, "Oh, just kidding, could you come back?" Not happening. Absolutely not happening. If you're running layoffs at this scale, you better have a game plan. The government is fumbling the bag big time, and legal consequences can be huge. My final thoughts for tonight, what's next? Besties, the government is going through it right now. Employees are stuck in the middle of the mess between DOGE's leadership mystery, the federal layoffs, and basic HR best practices. It's safe to say that the drama is far from over. If you're a federal worker or HR pro, here's what you should do. Stay informed. I know it's so hard right now. There's a lot of information being pushed. There's so much to consume. Find the best source that you love to follow and just stick with it. It doesn't have to be every day. It could be every other day, but policy changes are happening fast and you don't want to be caught off guard. So stay informed. If you're facing a layoff, check if your agency has an internal appeal rights. Some do. And lastly, document everything. If you suspect wrongful termination, having receipts, emails, notices, meeting minutes, any of that is going to be crucial for legal action. All right, that's it for today's episode, guys. Follow me on all social media. Keep your resumes polished. Your email's professional, even when they don't deserve it. And keep your legal knowledge strong. Please email me, hrafterdarkpro@gmail.com, with all of your juicy HR nightmare stories or just workplace stories. I'd love to share it on the podcast. Until next time, guys, stay chic, stay informed, and stay out of HR's trouble. Good night.